Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Glory to God. Okay, tonight I'm just going to build on what we have started already. And I'm sure we've been learning a lot of things. Amen. Are you tired of learning? Okay. We're going to go straight into the word. Like last week, Pastor Mike is here. Prophet Mike is here with us again this evening. Can you celebrate here? Is that how to celebrate? Yes, something like that. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for being here. Yes, we've just been having some prayer times like that. And it's been a glorious time having you join us last week and this week. Thank you very much, Pastor. So we started talking about the knowledge of God. We started talking about the knowledge of God and how much of God can we know. If we are to know God at all, it is necessary that He Himself will reveal Himself to us. Is that not what we said? That we cannot know God except that He reveals Himself to us. In other words, it will be something foolish for the finite mind to think that it has the ability to comprehend the infinite God completely. We can understand His ways. We can understand His methods. We can understand the things that He does. But I established last week that nobody can know God completely, anything about God completely. Let me put it that way. That means you cannot know about God's holiness completely. You cannot know about His righteousness completely. You cannot know about His purity completely, about His just nature. There's nothing about God that one person can know in His entirety. David said, "How unsearchable are your ways?" In other words, the ways of God, they are past finding. Are we here together? Yes. Psalm 139 verse 6, see what it says there. Psalm 139 verse 6, it says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." Are we here together? So David is speaking. Go to NLT or NIV. Let's start reading from verse. I have a lot of readings to do today, so let's just stop here. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me." That is the knowledge of God. It's too great for me to understand. So this is the psalmist saying that the depths of the knowledge, searching into the mystery of God. And here in this context, David is talking about the knowledge of God. Having to know God. He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too great for me to understand." But it doesn't mean that we cannot know things about God. Are we here together? But we're saying that you cannot know completely everything as an individual about God. That is why He is God. He continues to unveil Himself. And you know the funny truth? We cannot know completely things about God, not only in time, even in eternity. So it's not like because we are in time, that's why we cannot know Him. When we get to eternity, we will keep pressing into the knowledge of God. That time, it will dawn on us that even eternity is a space in time itself. It is time infinite. So that God is not such that you can say when we get to eternity, we will now eventually know everything. No. Glory to God. So His judgments too, they are unsearchable. So it is difficult to say that you want to comprehend all. That's why when human beings are perfect, that's why God says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is." Start from believing that He is. Start from accepting His authority. the doctrine of the incomprehensibility of God has so much positive application to our lives. It means that we will never be able to know too much about God. We will never be able to run out of the things to learn about God. There will still be so much to learn. There will still be so much to learn. If I have to open Genesis chapter 1 and I preach from Genesis chapter 1, the whole of the chapter throughout this year, I will not exhaust it. By the time I'm coming for service the next week, you will find a deeper dimension of revelation. The reason is because while I am probing, God will be revealing himself. Have you had the encounter where you read a particular portion of the scripture this year? And maybe through your reading plan again, you read it. And it's like a different thing you just saw. That is how God is. Every time you look into that, you see a different thing. You see a different side. You see, he's a multifaceted God. He's a God that has multi-dimensions. Are we here together? Yes. So David said in Psalm 139 also, that same Psalm 139 verse 17 and 18. See what the psalmist has to say there. Psalm 139. Okay, hold on. Let's just read it from here. Let's go back. Let's read from here. Okay. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Let's move. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will do what? Support me. It says, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. Why? Because he is light. So in the midst of darkness, when he shows up, everything will be bright. Are we here together? Yes. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You know what that David is trying to say here? When people say it is dark, it is because they have not seen you. Because when you appear, you are light. And you get what I'm saying now? So now, darkness, I want you to get to understand. There are certain climes in the world where by 11 p.m. at night, there's broad daylight. I hope you understand. It's broad daylight like it's normal like this. 11 p.m. and everywhere is bright. So it helps to explain this, that if God shows up in the place, even if the clock says 12 p.m. and he shows up, 12 p.m. will look like 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Do you get what I'm trying to say here now? That's the presence of God. That's the presence of God. That's who God is. He says, but even in darkness. Okay, let's go ahead now. He said, you made all the delicate inner part of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. It's not like ultrasound, Zana. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. So when I tell every one of us that there is a book written about you already, may God help you not to come out of alignment. The reason people struggle is because they come out of alignment. They are doing something opposite, something different from what is written concerning them. Everybody's life is a written book already, but many people are walking out of alignment. They are not in alignment with the plan and purpose of God. Glory to God. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts? This is where I'm coming now. How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God? They cannot be numbered. That means the thoughts of God about me, it cannot be numbered. Then the next verse, I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Glory to God. So we must come to the realization that God is a subject of study that we can never master. We must come to the realization that God is a subject of study that we can open and unveil per time. Next year or 2 years' time, if God permits and I'm teaching about God again, I am very sure that you'll be flabbergasted again, because he would have revealed many other dimensions to me too. And the same way to you, he would have revealed if you study. Are we here together? It will not be exactly the same thing that, he said, no. It will be different. I have thought the same message in different places, and I could not say exactly the same thing. Why? Because the knowledge that God gives to us is progressive. God cannot be exhausted. It's not a curriculum like your class lecture that your lecturer says, we are done. It's not like an exam that you are writing, and by the time you say, I'm taking a course in project management, or I'm taking a professional exam, you know, to be a chartered accountant, and I'm done with the curriculum. No, you cannot be done. It is an eternal curriculum. The study and studying the nature of God is an eternal curriculum. No one person can exhaust it. Men have started studying and finding things about this God before we were born. They have done their part and they have stopped. One generation will come and another generation will continue. Yet God cannot be exhausted. The knowledge of him. So amazing. Are we here together, church? Yes. So we must come to that place where we get to understand that the subject matter, God, cannot be exhausted. We must accept that God is God and the creator. He alone is worthy of praise and adoration. No matter how much of time we spend in Bible study and in prayer, it will not be enough to know the entirety of God. And that's the reason why we keep studying, actually. Paul said that I may know you and the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering being made conformable unto your death. Now, this is not a man that had not known God. This is a man that had known so much about God already. But yet he said that I may know you. Moses wanted to know God and he said, Lord, show me your glory. And this is a man that had seen the 10 plagues in Egypt. Before his very eyes, water turned to blood. Before his very eyes, the rod of Aaron became a serpent, swallowed other serpents. Before his very eyes, boils came on everybody. God gave him so much power that everything he said, Moses became a god. He said, I have made you a god over Pharaoh. Yet, Moses knew that he had not seen everything about God. He knew that there was still so much to know about God. Sometimes people think that they've known so much. You know, it is pride when we stop studying the Bible because you think you know so much. If you are humble, you will study the Bible. A humble heart will seek after the knowledge of God. A humble and a broken heart will press into the knowledge of God in the place of prayer and study. The reason why we don't pray and we don't study sometimes is because we are too full of the fact that we can keep ourselves, we can protect ourselves, we can lead ourselves, we can guide ourselves. May God forgive us for this sin of pride, of neglect of his word and the place of prayer. Yes. You wake up early in the morning and you're too confident in yourself that you can cross the road by yourself. Congratulations. Have you not heard of people who just came out in the morning, they're about to cross the road, and at the center of the road, they collapsed. At the center, like center of the express. They were running like every other person. It was just as if they off the button. And that's it. There are people who stood on the pew like this, podium like this, even men of God, and were preaching fine. Few minutes after, that explains to you how fickle human beings are. That explains to you how that we are not as tough as we think. That's why we must depend on God consistently. We must rely on God. And that happened. That's another thing. That probably happens and somebody says that, why did the man of God die on the pulpit there? Why didn't he leave the place? He has broken the law. When you break the laws of your health, practical health principles, the Lord will catch up with you. It is not God's fault. Now, that will bring me to answer a question before I proceed with my message tonight on this. Number one, if God is loving, why is there evil and wars that he cannot stop? God is loving. Why can't he just stop wars? Why can't he stop evil? He should have just stepped into the scene and just do everything by himself. Why is it that God will not do that despite the fact that God is a loving God? Are we here together? Just follow me. Just listen tonight. God's ways and purposes are often beyond human understanding. And that is the reason why it is challenging for people to understand why the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, the all-wise God will not just step into the affairs of men and do something that they expect him to do. They wonder a lot. They are wondering and say, God, but why? Now, I showed us from last week that it's because we have not read our Bibles. If you have read our Bibles, you'll be able to know that some things happened and God was there. They happened. It wasn't like God left the scene. It wasn't like God was not involved. We could see practically that God was there. He was right there. Somebody would have said, why will it just happen like that? Why will God allow this? Why will God allow that? Number one, write it down. Men have free will. God has given men free will. God has given human beings free will, the ability to make choices and decisions. The unfortunate thing is that the freedom that we have, we always will always make the wrong choices. Okay, look at the Bible. We're in church today. Is that not? Everywhere in the Bible, you have found it that the Bible say, "Thou shalt not steal." Do people still steal? Thou shalt not commit fornication. Do people not commit fornication? Why? Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's properties. I will explain something when I get there. You may begin to wonder, why are people like this? Now, the first sin that man committed was even disobedience. It was against the will of God. Said, "Do not eat of the tree of the middle of garden in the day you eat your shoulder." And he said, "Don't." And God gave them a free will. Somebody said, as God saw them as they were taking it, God would have said, "Adam, stop. Thou shalt not." No, it doesn't work like that. How will I know if he obeys me? How will I test his obedience if I don't give him? How will you pass an exam that you have not been given when you don't sit in an examination hall? After all the lessons we have learned, the reason they take you through the examination hall to write an exam is to see whether the things that you have learned, you are able to put it to work. So after God sat them down and they sat in the class, he explained to them, "Don't touch this. Of all the tree, only one question, don't eat this one." The exam was so simple, but yet it was that one that God said no to, that man went to. So men have free will. So sometimes God does not intervene like that. God is a God of territories. The Bible says he lives in heaven. The earth he has given to the sons of men. And that is why what people do on the face of planet earth, many of the times, it is not God's fault. If people decide to vote in a government that will destroy their lives, that's their business. Because God would have shown us, this is what is right, this is what is wrong, this behavior is right, this behavior is wrong. They say, no, we'll go there. If they die, they die. They made their choice. So you want to ask those kind of questions sometimes. You need to understand that man is a free will. Man has a free will. Man is a free moral being. God made man that way. Think by yourself. I don't want to control you as a robot. If not, the way the artificial intelligence and everything, that's how we all would have been. You'll not be able to dictate things for yourself. You'll be here only if there's a signal in heaven to say, "Go." No charge today. Okay. You want to watch me act like robot, don't worry. So, because God has given us free will. Now, there are people who are not in church today, not because they have time, they don't just feel like coming. They made the choice. There are people who have gone to school today, they made a choice. There are people who have not been able to go to school today, not because they didn't have the privilege, they just made a choice. There are some other people, for one reason or the other, they have chosen. You are wearing a black cloth because you chose to wear a black cloth. True or false? Did anybody force you? It's a choice. If you wear black to that place, they will attack you. Say, forget it. You wear black. If anything happens to the person, who will they blame? Say, it's the devil. Even the devil is tired of the way you are blaming him. So God desires genuine love and relationship with his creation. And true love requires freedom to choose. If you really love a person, you will let them make choices. And that's why you don't go to a lady and say, "God has said I will marry you. God has said I will marry you." If you really love her, you will let her go and make her choice. You will not be troubling her with phone and killing her life. If you really love something, let it fly. If it comes back, it loves you too. If it does not come back, it doesn't love you. That's the truth. Many people don't like that truth. They always want to force it. Some girls are forcing themselves on some guys. They'll be full of that. He don't. The guy is not interested. He's just doing many things. The guy can stand here with another person and they'll be gisting on that thing and she'll just sit down the person on the phone. And they say, that one is just his friend. I am the real person. Yeah. Real person. So you're wondering, why is she acting like that? Why? What's her problem? What's her problem? She has chosen. She has made a conscious decision to be temporarily foolish. Until the eye becomes open. You know, see? You now hear things like, and I saw the signs, so, and I knew. I didn't just know what was wrong with me. Yes. The wrong was wrong with you. May you never be like that. May you never lose your worth in the name of Jesus. So man is that being that God has given the ability to choose. If you really love anybody, anything, you give them freedom to make choices. The presence of evil and wars in the world today is as a result of human misuse of their free will. It's not God's intention. It is man that has misused his free will. Man will use his free will to kill his brother. Man will use his free will to fight family. We use free will to fight everything. Man just exercises that free will to do whatever it is that he wants to do. And because God will not intercept, because of the laws of territories, God controls from that territory. He has to be in this territory. We are doing things. The earth he has given to the sons of men. Now he's superintending over the things we are doing. That means he's watching and he's seeing. For instance, did I explain to you that when we say God has predestinated us, somebody is saying that, that means God chose all the people he wanted. No, God left them in the movie and saw their decisions. And based on their decisions, he chose them. That is foreknowledge. How many of us have heard about the doctrine of foreknowledge and divine election? This is how it works. God is saying here, and he has seen all the end from the beginning. So he saw that when he left Esau, Esau will make a foolish decision. He saw that when he leaves Jacob, Jacob will make the foolish decision. So in choosing the person that will bring the 12 tribes of Israel, he went to choose Jacob. I like the tenacity of Jacob. I like the heart of Jacob. I like the stubbornness of Jacob. This kind of person will be a prince for me. So he said, Esau have I hated. Jacob have I loved. Not because before they were born. No, because God has seen before they were born. And watched their ways till the end of their life. And he said, me, I choose this one. So when they were going to be born, the mother by prophecy got to hear about what God had already seen. And she just played out and allowed prophecy to play out. That's what happened. So it was their free will. It was the behavior of Jacob to act that way. It was the behavior of Esau to act that way. And God said, nobody should be like a profane person like Esau, who for a morsel of bread will sell his birthright. In other words, God is saying, I don't like that behavior. Is anybody getting what I'm saying this evening? Am I making sense here? Number two, why you see wars and many things happening everywhere around the face of the earth is that some of those things are the consequences of sin. If somebody has done something, the wages of sin is what? Death. The Bible teaches that the presence of evil and suffering in the world is as a result of the fall of man. Man has fallen. The world is in a fallen state. As a result of that, the Bible says that creation itself is waiting for its own freedom. The earnest expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. He said creature itself is groaning. Do you know that the world itself is tired of the way it is? The world is tired of the way it is. The depletion of the ozone layer that you are seeing, the climate change and everything happening. The world is tired of itself. It's waiting for its own redemption. Because from the beginning it was not so. Men are using different objects that God has given them wisdom to create to now torture the atmosphere itself and the climate. So it is even crying on its own. And they say it's God. But science has discovered that it is what your gas that you are born flaring. It is all the things that you are abusing. It's all the things that you are messing up that has turned around so that nature is against us. So you have acid rain because you caused acid rain. You say God, God, God didn't cause it. God didn't cause it. It is the consequences of the sin of man that brings most of these things that you see. So as a result of creation, creation is subject to futility. God's original plan was for a perfect, harmonious world. And that's why God made the world, and Adam and Eve were in a garden. There was no smoke. They weren't flaring gas. True or false? They didn't have to struggle. They weren't cooking. The reason they were not cooking, because God planned it initially that they were not going to be eating animals. The original plans was that they were supposed to be eating plants. It was after, if you check very well, it was after the fall that animal entered.
an animal entered, it's an attempt to shorten the life so that they will not even grow longer. You go and read yourself. When you read, you'll see. Because animal protein and plant protein, they are different. They are different. And the best source of protein is supposed to be plant protein and not animal protein. True or false? So when men fell and God has said that nobody will live longer than this again, the system to check every man's life to not go beyond it is to give them food to eat, and they will be dying by installment. Do we understand? Now, as time went on, you discovered that the age, the lifespan of men started reducing. You know why? The earth started getting worse. With gas, they started cooking, everything started getting messed up, the whole system, the pure air that they will breathe, and life and everything started going down. As a result, now life expectancy in some countries is higher than what we have here. And they've told us the reason why. The reason why is because somebody in the U.S. has chances of living up to 120 years conveniently, or 90 years conveniently, or 80 years, than somebody who is here. Because just by the voracious driving of the wearies, somebody can die. Just with the potholes that the government refused to fix, they are close to about 100 and something million or 100 people that would die every year. Just potholes. For the sake of the bad hospitals that they've given money to fix that they will not fix. Just for that, certain women are destined for destruction. Men also destined for the same thing, not only women. Childbirth abroad, you see, when you see people abroad, they are doing baby shower and they are doing like this. They are almost 99% sure the baby will come out. You now follow somebody and posting baby shower. Our agenda, we want to teach. Yeah. This one here, you will hide the baby. You will tell the woman self, use pin and tie your wrapper like this. As if pink can protect the child. Are you getting my gist here? The chances that this one will have that work in this part of the world is like that. So some of the things happening in this part of the world, they are consequences of the sins of our government. They are consequences of the sin of our government. I don't want to go there. If I go there, it's going to be good, dangerous. The same things, the things that happen in families. That's why you go to the Western world, see their family and see the level of divorce. It's higher than what we have here. You know why? Culture has been able to culture us. But they do not have those kind of cultures. And the sin against God of divine order, of man being the head and the woman following, that they are saying no, it is an equality thing. Their marriages will continue to crash. And they that follow their path will enjoy the same thing. Because the standard for defining truth is God. When I get there, I'll explain. Sometimes I usually wish God would just reverse time for me. I say, pew, 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 pew. Mavis, let's start by 4 o'clock. I could preach 3 hours and all these things, but let's see how we could go. I want to close very early today. Amen. Another thing is redemption. Another thing is the mystery of God's ways. It is important to recognize that God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So while we may not fully understand why God permits certain things, we can trust Him that He is God. I don't know why my dad died at the time he died, but God is faithful. I judge Him faithful because He is faithful. When I get to the other side, we will understand it better by and by. Why? We are mortals and there's a limit to what we understand. Many people put it on the other side. You know, maybe your shoe gets missing. You know, they want to say, oh, my God, I'm going to be shape. You know, did you get what I just said, everybody? Now, it's common here that when you lost something, people try to attribute your loss to something bigger that God is trying to protect you from. Are we here together? But it's not like exactly like that. But sometimes it might just be that, and we're not seeing it. And why we cannot conclude and judge God is because He can only be judged faithful. Are you getting this part of it now? Are you getting this part of it? We have to judge Him faithful. I can't explain why
Oh, I can't explain why a woman had waited to have a baby for 15 years. And after 15 years of waiting to have the baby, she gets the miracle child in her womb. And while she's trying to deliver the baby, the woman dies and the baby lives. I can't explain.
God, wicked. Why would God do that?
Hey, it doesn't always have to be God. You can't see the whole picture. You're mortal. Wait until you see the whole picture. Then you will see some of the things that God probably had put in place and checked and told and thought and did everything, and nobody paid attention. The right Bible says that righteous people die. Good men are taken away from the earth. And people are wondering and saying, why? He said, but nobody lays it to heart that God has taken them away. Put Isaiah for me. God has decided to take them away from the destruction that is to come. In the eyes of men, God, you are wicked. Why? Such a good man. In the eyes of God, precious is the death of a saint. Perspectives different.
Are you getting what I'm saying here? We're talking about this God, knowing this God and understanding his ways.
So he is saying that precious, it's precious in my own eyes. This is the one you have found. Isaiah, righteous men die, sinful, good, righteous people. Is that how I put it? Righteous men die. Isaiah something. Is it Isaiah? Yeah. But no man lays it to heart. Can search it that way. No man lays it that God has taken them away from destruction to come. Search it that way. Are we here together? So you see, that's about the mysteries of God. So God invites his children. He says we should just trust him. If we can trust him, we may not know what is happening, but we can trust him. We may not be able to tell why that thing has happened, but we can trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, and he will direct your path. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that righteous is taken away from evil. They are considering his righteousness and say he must live forever. But God is saying he's a righteous man, he's a merciful man. I don't want him to see this kind of thing. I will take him. You know, Methuselah lived 969 years. Are we here together? And the Bible says he lived and he was what? Not. Is that not? If you do the calculation, he walked with God and he was not. If you do the calculation, it was at the point where the flood of Noah was going to come to consume the whole earth that Methuselah was taken. God did not want Methuselah to see that destruction. He was such a righteous person, God didn't want him. But people who stayed there will not know what was about to happen the next year. You say, he's a righteous man of all of us. Maybe he should have continued to live now. And God said, no. We have to take him. Is it Methuselah? What's his name? No. Enoch. Not Methuselah. Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not. If you do the Bible, at the point Enoch was taken, it was about the year that the flood of Noah was coming. And God said, no, Enoch, you're not going to see this. I don't want to see that. I am the one finishing the whole world with the flood. I don't want you to experience this. If not, they would have carried a very old man into the ark. A very old righteous man into the ark. So God just said, let's take this one. Are we here together? Glory to God. Another reason that you can attribute to the reason why some of these things happen is redemption and justice. Despite the existence of evil and wars, the Bible also reveals that God has planned for the redemption and the justice of all men. Through Jesus Christ, God has offered forgiveness so that no matter the war that is happening, if any person accepted Jesus Christ before the war, will they perish and go to hell? No. So God has seen that despite wars, those that are in me, they would find peace. No matter what happens on the face of the earth, anyone who is in Christ Jesus, God has made a way of escape. And Jesus is the ark that anybody must enter. So God is saying that anything can happen on earth. The only safety and the guarantee that we really have is Christ. In Christ alone, my hope is found. So God has made that way already. So when you are complaining, the most important thing is just get people saved. If you don't get them saved, they will end up that way. The best thing you can do is to pray for your father or your mother to be saved. Instead of crying after they are died, they've died unsaved. Because if they die saved, at the resurrection morning you will see them. If they die unsaved,
You will not see them again. Darkness has eaten that soul permanently. So you see, the perspective we're looking at things is actually different from God's perspective. Today at the morning, I talk about the mind of Christ. Is that not? I talk about God's perspective and our perspectives. For time's sake, let's move on with our teaching. So I think I've answered a little bit of that question. I have a third question I might not be able to ask today. Some other time, we'll talk about it. So although we cannot know everything about God, we can know Him truly. Even though we cannot know everything about God, we can truly know things about God. We can know there are certain things about God. I know that God is light. I know that God is righteous. I know that God is wise. I might not know all of the wisdom of God. I might not know how. So I might not know all that, but I'm sure that God is light. I know that God is love. I might not know the extent of His love. Are we here together? Even though Paul prayed that God will help us to understand the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of His love, He now says the love that passes knowledge. You are telling us to know the length, the breadth, the depth, the height. Then you go to the bus stop. He now says that love, it passes knowledge. I say, okay. In other words, He's saying, let's keep pressing into it, even though we cannot get there. The unsearchable riches of His grace. Let's keep pressing into the grace of God, even though we cannot search all of it out. So we might not be able to know everything about God in His entirety, but we can know certain things about God, that He's a gracious God, He's a merciful God, He's a loving God, He's a God of light, He's all that. You can know that about God. Are we here together now? Yes. We can know that God is love. These are facts about God. Apart from knowing things that are facts about God, we can also know God personally. I told us the last time that you can know the president of the United States and say the president of the United States is a nice man, is a kind man, is a very good man. Have you met him? No. So what do you know? You know have facts about him. You don't know him. The same way some people know God, some people have the ideology that human beings can only know facts about God. They cannot know God experientially. But the Bible does not say that. The Bible says that we can have to know facts about God, then we can have epignosis. Epignosis, that is experiential knowledge of God. A knowledge that comes by having intercourse with a person. A knowledge that comes by relating with a person and understanding his very substance. But there is a degree, no matter how devoted and dedicated. Sir, if a person is very devoted and dedicated to God, you will see the result in the person's life. But get to know that the person has not still known God as much as he ought to know God. There are still dimensions of God that he has not attained. But can I tell you, any person who presses in, you will see the sign that they are pressing. You will see it. The difference will be clear. You will see it. The person who sits down eating bread and beans every morning cannot be compared to the man who is sleeping and eating and discussing with immortals. You can never be the same. There will be a difference. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Yes, there will be a difference. There surely will be a difference. So we cannot fully know his personality, but we can know so much about him. So Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. In 1 John chapter 17, verse 3, the Bible says, this is eternal life, that they might know him. This is eternal life, that they might do what? Know him. This is eternal life, that they might do what? Know him. In other words, we can know him. And the knowledge of him is what? Eternal life. The degree to which you enjoy eternal life on the face of the earth is so much to the degree that you press into that life. The life is inside of you, but is everybody living the fullness of that life? The life is inside of you, but so much that one can do with the life, the other cannot do. Both of them are born again, but this one has pressed to a particular dimension and is getting the results and the testimonies of eternal life. This one is still struggling with the same thing. But if this one can press, you will also get there. The more I know you, the more I live to know you, Jesus, more of you. There are attributes of God are divided into two. They have the moral and the non-moral attributes of God and the moral attributes of God. Some other people say it is the incommunicable attributes of God and the communicable attributes of God. I'll talk about them fast, then we'll try to see some strong things I want to read today. We will close. Are you ready tonight? Number one of the incommunicable attributes of God, that is the moral of God that nobody can attain, that nobody has. Nobody can really have it except God has bestowed it. Number one is that God is eternal. God is eternal.
God is eternal. He was the one that stood somewhere in the beginning and started the beginning. In the beginning, God. Where was God before the beginning? God is eternal. He created all things, including Lucifer, including all the angels. Every single thing you see, God is eternal. When you come to the place of understanding God as eternal God, you will know that God precedes the past. He precedes the future and even the everything, past, present, and future. You cannot class God in past, present, and future. God is not just in the past, in the present, or in the future. God is beyond the past. God is beyond the present. God is beyond the future. With God, there is no future because he has seen the end before the beginning. Only men know that there is a future. You know you have a future. God doesn't have a future. You know about your past. God doesn't have a past. He said, when you get there, ask him who sent you. Tell him, I am. He didn't say I was or I will be. I am. When they said, which kind of God? He said, the God who was and is to come. In other words, for men to understand, tell them that the one who it was, every man that was is no longer. He said, but this one, he is. And peradventure, you are looking at and saying that he will end one day. He is to come. You need to see how God explains himself. You need to see how God describes himself. It shows the depth. It shows the eternal nature of God. And Peter was writing one time and he said to God, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. The only wise God. In other words, he's not just a wise God. He's the definition of wisdom. God is not just a loving God. He is love. Are you getting what I'm saying here? God is not just a merciful God. He's the embodiment of mercy. In the fullness of his mercy and grace, he decided to save man. Yes. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone, who is wise, be glory, honor, forever and ever. The second attribute of God, for time's sake, number two, is that he is unchangeable. Somebody say he's unchangeable. Yes. He's unchangeable. Somebody say he's unchangeable. He's unchangeable. He's unchangeable. He's unchangeable. Men can change. Men can change. Men can change. Satan changed. Satan was such a bright angel, Lucifer. He was a bright angel, but all of a sudden he did what? He changed. But the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So that he, as God, in his yesterday, he's sitting there. In his today, his age has not changed. In his tomorrow, his age does not change. That's why we call him ageless God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So that he cannot say, as I always tell you guys, you cannot say as old as the oldest. He's not old as the oldest because he's not old. The nomenclature old cannot be used for God. It can never be ascribed to God. You can never ascribe God as old. Old is something that is fading and something that will waste. God is not fading or waste. He can only be ascribed as what? Ancient. 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 Ancient of days. Forever the same. Forever the same. You will never change. Ancient of days. Forever the same. Forever the same. You will never change. When things get old, they change their color. They change their texture. They change what they look like, but he is God that does not change. The way he was from the beginning, that is how he is now. That is how he will be. He cannot change. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? That is the God. These are the attributes of God that you can look at and say, Kai, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. The God that never changes. When we have the privilege, when you see him, somebody say, I saw God and he had the hair like an old man. No, you will see a hair that is looking golden, but you will see a face that is young like that of a baby. When you see God, you will have an encounter. You say, no, go and check the God described in Revelation. It's not the God that looks like one they draw in some images and draw an old man, you know, that with white beards and his face is wrinkled. No, this one cannot know wrinkling. Wrinkling is as a result of corruption and decadence in the world. God is ever fresh. He's the freshest. Yes. 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 Do you know the God we're talking about? The God that told them to put manna inside the Ark of the Covenant. And they put Aaron's rod that budded. And when they put manna inside the covenant, 40 years after they crossed the whole of the wilderness, they opened the pot. And when they opened the pot, the manna was fresh like the first day they cooked it. The presence of God kept the manna. If his presence can keep something, how much more him?
Just keep. Think about it. Just think about it. His presence in the ark kept the bread for 40 years plus, and it remained just like that. Aaron's rod that budded, a plant, the fruits, the almond on that rod, sir, it did not decay for 40 years. One day he asked the children of Israel, he said, look at you guys, check again. When I took you for 40 years in the wilderness, did your shoes worn out? When you wear your shoe for 1 year, what happens to it? Moses wore his shoe for 1 year. He didn't go lalojokon. He didn't go one bit. He said, the clothes you guys were wearing, did you sew any clothes? No. The one you wore when you came out, every day your clothes remained the same and grew with you in the wilderness. You were growing and your clothes was growing. And he was asking them, think about those things. He preserved them in his presence. He's a pillar of cloud by the day and a pillar of fire by the night. Such a mysterious God. And that's why they will look again and again. They will say, what kind of God is this? How awesome art thou in all thy ways. By the greatness of your power, their enemies give up themselves. So that their enemies will hear of them. When they hear that they are coming, they will start running. People will leave their lands and their properties and run away. Why? Because of the pillar of cloud they saw. They didn't know what it was. But anytime the children of Israel were going, the cloud would be walking with them. As soon as they saw the cloud, they would run away. And they said, well, what is that? It is the pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by the day. He's a pillar of fire by the night. He's a pillar of cloud by the day. You will never understand him. He's a miracle God. He's a pillar of fire by the night. He's a pillar of cloud by the day. We can never comprehend him. He's a wonderful God. It is fun. God, number one is eternal. Number three is omnipresence.
Somebody say omnipresence. Well, can you say now with the church? Omnipresence. The God that is present. I read it before Sunday. He said, if I go under the sea, you are there. If I enter the water, you are there. He said, where can I hide from your presence? Where is it that I can go that will go that you are not? When you enter a place and somebody is telling you that where you're going to, who is going with you? The people going for that interview, they are your boss. You will tell them
that the omnipresent God is going with me. His presence has gone ahead. That's why the Bible says he's the ever-present help. That means a help that is sent ahead. The word present is P-R-E, pre-sent. The help is sent. Before you get there, he's there already. Before you get there, he's there already. And that's why many of you must never be afraid of your future. When somebody says, I have fear of the future, I don't have fear of any future. Why? Because God does not have future. God is standing at the other side and he will see me land safely. I will land safely. My destiny is secured. Yes. Omnipresent God. One day they took Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and they were going to throw them in the furnace of fire. And the king was so angry and furious that the king got so, you know, he was vexed that he told them to light up the fire 7 times hotter than what it was. When they would put that fire heavy and hot like that, the king told 7 hefty men to grab this guy. I don't know whether it's 7 or whatever, but numbers. He told them in their number to grab these guys and drop them in the midst of the fire. The men holding them to drop them in the fire, they were consumed by the fire. The fire that consumed them, listen, the fire that consumed them was the fire that they set up. They set up fire. Whereas the men that they were carrying had a fire called consuming fire, but did not consume them. Oh, do you understand what I just said? The consuming fire himself entered the fire of Nebuchadnezzar. And he turned everything about the fire of Nebuchadnezzar to air condition. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sat down. And he told them, my presence is in the midst of fire. Though you walk through the fire, you will never be burnt. He said, the flame will not scorch against you. I came to prophesy to somebody who's going through a season in your life. You are going through a particular thing right now. And you're saying, God, where are you? God, have you left me? God said to announce to you, I am there with you in the midst of that situation. You are not going to be destroyed by that fire. That situation will not swallow you. That challenge will not swallow you. You are coming out stronger. Somebody let your amen thunder. Consuming fire entered the fire. just as he appeared before Moses to show him a dimension of his presence. And the Moses described it. He said, I saw a bush that was burning but not consumed. How come the bush is burning? The leaves are burning. He sat upon a green leaf and he did not turn it to gray. He sat upon a green leaf, he didn't turn it to ashes. He can sit upon the water and walk upon the water. Whatever it is God wants to do, nobody can stop him. He's called consuming fire. Omnipresent. His presence is everywhere. If you need him in the fire, he's there. If you need him in the air, he's there. If you need him wherever he is, right there. He told us, he said, when you are in the womb, I saw you. That means I was there with you. In the darkest night, where your mother was considering and saying, oh, I'm being careful. God said, don't worry. I am the security of this one. I am the protection of this one. That is why you are alive today. All the arrows that flew by day, all the pestilence that wasted. If God opens your eyes to see the demons that are walking in town, some of them are walking with their head upside down. If God opens your eyes to see the demons around here, if you see the image of some of them, you will run mad physically. But guess what? He shielded our eyes from seeing those things so that we will walk safely in his ways. A man woke up one day and he said, God, I want to see the realm of the spirits. I want to see what is happening there. Why? Open my eyes. Open. And God said, I have opened the eyes of men to an extent. If I open it fully, what you will see. And the man said, God, open it. And God gave him a glimpse. When his eye opened, the first monster he saw by the side with eye on the forehead like this, he was wondering. By the time he was doing like this. Stop. These are the satanic arrows that are flying, but I shielded you with my presence. You don't need to see those things. I am the God, the warrior who fights your battles even when you have not seen it. That's the God that we serve. Oba tun bekun aladura o ti se kaya baba baba bash oba tun bekun aladura o ti gbo o obe ja mi ja o gboro mi ro ko je ki baba ti adura. So God, the omnipresent God, this is the God that we're talking about. His presence secures you. His presence protects you. His presence shields you. He is God that is ever present. Satan is not ever present. Demons are not ever present. I told them in the Bible pastoral class, I was teaching them, I was asking, where is Satan? And we were thinking, they were trying to fathom. And I laughed. I told them, have you seen those movies? That when they act the movie, please, Emmanuel, please give me this chair. Let me show you. You would have seen some of those movies that when they act the movies, you'll be wondering what is happening in town. There will be serious catastrophe everywhere. You will see the agents of a particular person going everywhere, attacking, destroying, fighting. They are fighting for somebody. The real person they are fighting for has not shown up. This is how Satan sits down and is just watching what is happening in the whole world. He has not shown up. Satan has not what? Shown up. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heaven. Did you see Satan there? If you see Satan, go and read Revelation and see. The Bible says the dragon gave his power to the beast. The dragon. That old dragon. You must have seen those movies. Fight is going on, but one guy just is there. So when the fight is getting closer to the territory, the guy is under pressure and he's just watching. That is what Satan is doing right now. The Bible says he knows that he has but a short time. And men like Mavis are rising. They will crush his head. They will bruise his head. For there's an army that is rising. There is an army that will rise. We will crush the head of the dragon. Is there somebody under the sound of my voice that knows that you are part of that army? You know you are part of that army. Somebody say, I am here. God is raising an army. The principalities and powers, after we have knocked their head, we will tell them, bring your boss out. Have you seen it in those movies where the actor has finished destroying everybody? Then he shows up in a room and one person turns the seat and he said, welcome. He will not carry any weapon. He will say, welcome. And you'll be wondering, what's about to happen? Who is this person? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how Jesus Christ will appear. And we are going to be behind him. Through Revelation, he said, with a thousand of thousands of his hosts, those of us that were washed and purified by the blood of the Lamb, those who have not stained their garments, those whose names are written in the
Lamb's book of life. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here? Those that will stand with him. He said, and I saw a rider on his forehead was written, faithful and true. And the rider was riding upon a white horse. Somebody hear me. This rider is Jesus. And we are his body. We are the ones sitting on the horse. The head is up. The body is on the horse. I prophesy every devil trying to intimidate you with nonsense sounds, satanic oppression. Tell that devil your assignment is over. I am coming with the king. I am coming with the king. I'm coming with the king. I am coming in the name of the Lord to crush every head of the dragon. I prophesy you are rising in power and defeating that devil, defeating that sickness, defeating that shame in the name of Jesus. The king is here. No need to fret.
No need to
say in a moment all sorrows are gone. The king. I see the king. I see the king. He's standing on your behalf. The king is by your side. 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 No need to fret. And they said there is no God. Sit up in heavenly places. We're wrapping up. Sit up in heavenly places. This God, eternal, unchangeable, omnipresent, he sat in the midst of the fire and he told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, I heard you when you told the king that even if our God does not show up, he said, it's been a long time I showed up like this. I usually will show up with my invisible, but the way you spoke, you talked too big of me. You talked too great of me. The same way that David spoke and he said to Goliath, he said, today I will give your flesh to the birds of the air. And the invisible God took that stone. That God who is omnipresent in his invisible strength, he took the stone and dropped it on the head of Goliath. And Goliath came down. Every Goliath that is rising, every Goliath that is making noise around your family, whatever looks like a Goliath raising his ugly head, I declare in the name of Jesus, they are coming down in the name of Jesus. That sickness that looks like Goliath that has been saying, I defy all medicine, all medical investigations. I declare right now, that sickness be destroyed in the name of Jesus.
The next is omnipotent. I will leave his omnipotence tonight. Let me jump to his omniscient nature. And I'll close here. The omniscient nature. The king had a dream. And he said, tell me the dream and the interpretation. The last time I checked, somebody would say, explain to me the dream, I will tell you the interpretation. There is a God whose dwelling is not with men. He knows all things. Somebody say, he knows all things. Omniscient means that he's all knowing. Satan is not all knowing. Let me tell you. Satan has an archive. That is why they are called ancestral demons. And because demons don't die, this particular demon is given the responsibility to record everything that has happened in this family this time. Then when this demon is doing his own, a new dispensation comes. They say handover. So they have what they call demonic archives. Records, so they cannot remember. Satan cannot remember everything. No, it's like the internet is a good way to explain how the satanic kingdom works. There are archives of things that have been kept many years over and over, stored in a spiritual hard disk, and those demons are the memory archives of Satan. This one knows this family line, that one knows that, and they monitor it. They are not all knowing. Satan is not all knowing. There are many things he does not know. But there is a God who sits in heaven. He says he knows the end. He's the only God who can read the mind of a person. Satan cannot read your mind. Don't let anybody deceive you. Satan cannot do what? He cannot read your mind. He doesn't have that ability. The word of God is quick and powerful. Only the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder the bones and the marrows. He says it is the discerner of the intent and the thought. Only God can search through everything, and he knows all things. God knows the amount of sand that is in the seashore. He knows it by their names. Whether it is quadrillion or trillion, I don't know. God knows all of them. He said, do you know the stars? All the stars, I know them by their what? Names. Every single angel, there is not an angel that is just called angel. They have names like human beings have names. God knows all of them by their names. If you were to cram the names of everybody in this place, very soon you start having a headache. God knows the whole 8-something billion people on the face of the earth by their word names. Not only their names, he knows the number of hair on their head. Not only the number of hair, the ones inside their nose. He has put 14 billion brain cells inside every person's head, and he can pick every single of that brain cell and calculate by himself. What a wonderful God we're talking about here. This is the God that when he shows up, nature itself cannot stand. Nature begins to wonder and fidget and ask, what is it that you're about to do? The first time Jesus showed up to some demons, they said, have you come to destroy us before our time? In other words, they are saying, we know that there is a time, we can't tell, but you are the one who knows the time. Have you come to destroy us? God is all knowing. All knowing. And now give Daniel the privilege. When Daniel had the dream of the king, guess what Daniel said? He said, the God whose dwelling is not with men has come at night, and he has revealed to his servants Daniel. And while Daniel was sleeping, God gave him the dream that another person had in his house and gave him the interpretation. After Daniel had that, explained that dream to the king, guess what they started calling Daniel? They said, this is the man in whom the spirit of the gods live. That means all other magicians and astrologers in the town, they lost relevance. Why? One man who had encountered God. One man who had searched into the mysteries of God. The secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed, they belong to the sons of men. And he will reveal things to those who fear him. Child of God, there are many things God wants to reveal. There is a side of you that is a sign and a wonder to your world. This God that knows all things, I pray as you serve him faithfully with your heart, he will reveal deep things to you in the name of Jesus. The all-knowing God The all-knowing God. It's a long reading, but we'll stand and read it to close. Let me show you the encounter Job had with this all-knowing God. Job chapter 38. Job had the encounter with the all-knowing God, and fear gripped him. It fear gripped Job. Job could not stand it. Are we ready tonight? You're going to read with me. We're just going to be reading all these things. I may not be able to explain, but as we are reading, you will flow. NIV will make it very easy, or NLT. NIV or NLT. Job chapter 38. If we don't finish the reading and we pray tonight, when you get back home, you'll be able to read it. Yes. Job chapter 38. Now, after the friends of Job had said many things about Job, and Job didn't know what to answer, Elihu the Buzite now spoke. And he said, I thought that wisdom was in age of days. He said, but I have listened to you guys speak, and I just realized that there's so much foolishness in what you are saying. He said, I discovered that there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? After he spoke in 32, Job's friend kept arguing, and Elihu the Buzite started saying many things. Then he got to a particular point. Job started arguing seriously. Job started arguing many things. He was saying, God, where were you this? What happened this? What happened that? And God sat down and he was laughing in heaven. Then in verse 38, God opened his mouth and decided to settle the matter of Job. See how the all-knowing God explained himself. He said, then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant of words? Who is this? Put it in King James and see the grammar I used there. Just that verse 2 alone. Look at it. He said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Job, like, do you have sense? You are speaking like somebody who lacks sense. Now, is God talking here? Listen, with all respect, honor to God. Look at, he said, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Ignorant words. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. He said, brace yourself. I have questions for you. Job, say you've been talking like this. You know so much. You are just, you are that. In your righteousness, yet I am called righteous. You can be made righteous, but I am righteousness itself. He said, Job, show up. Come here today. We must settle this course. I want to hear those things you are saying like a man who lacks understanding. He said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determines its dimensions and stretches out the surveying lines? Who is the person that helped me to hold the line? Somebody wants to measure this hall, and he will say, take the rope, go there and hold it. And God said, when I was measuring the earth, ask who is the person that held it for me? Who held the survey lines? That I used to measure the earth. Who told you I don't know the dimensions of the earth? The whole size of the earth. The whole size of the moon. As large as fat. The land mass that he gave to the children of Israel. He told them from the river Euphrates to so-so place. He mentioned everything. He said, I know their land mass to the nearest kilometer. I know it. What supports the foundations? And who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb? It's asking Job. And as I clothed it with cloud and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind bar gates, limiting its shores. In other words, God is saying, if I release the ocean, none of you will stand. In other words, he's saying the rivers that you see today, they are in a prison. Where they are is best at what? A prison. If I open the cage and the waters come out, in the day when the fountains of the great deep were burst open and the ark of Noah started rising, all the men that were on the face of the earth, the Bible says that day, the fountains of the great deep was burst open and the heaven itself burst open and waters were pouring from up and from down. Within a few days, the whole earth was flooded. Not a single human being survived. He said, Job, who are you? What are you saying? What do you know? This is the God we're serving. I said, this far and no farther will you go. Will you come? Here, your proud waves must do what? Stop. So you have gone to Badagry Beach or some of the beach, and you see you stay in a place, and the beach is going, the wave is coming heavy, heavy, heavy. When it gets to a particular place, won't be there. Stop. Who told the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can never come this far? And who showed the moon where to stand till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star?
Now I know
my Redeemer lives. people. We're going to be reading it like this until we close because of time. Testify. Let his life within me cry. And I know. Job, have you ever commanded the morning to appear and cause the dawn to rise at the east? So you think that the rising of the sun and the setting every day is just normal? Do you know who gave one command that he has been obeying from the beginning? Job, why are you talking like this? See God asking Job question. Have you ever made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches the earth, takes shape like clay, pressed beneath a seal, it is robed in brilliant colors, sky. The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in violence. So when it is happening at midnight and they tell you devilish things happen at night, somebody is saying, no, it's not true. That while you are in the night here, some people are in the day there. They don't understand some things. And that's why, to the extent of what you understand, you can speak. If God calls a particular place night, it is night. Forget the people who are in the day of their time. And God says certain things happen at night. At midnight, he said, the seeds that were sown. He said, at night, the enemy came to sow tares. So night is a moment that the devil works. Regardless of how anybody explains it, God is trying to ask Job here. Go back to that verse. He's trying to ask Job here. He said, the light disturbs the wicked. In other words, when they are doing their wicked deeds at night, as soon as it is getting to the morning time, they begin to pack up because they know they cannot survive night, because darkness is done more at what? Night. He said, Job, do you know I am the one that stopped it? If I leave the night to remain for a whole month, see the wickedness that will happen. It is easy for people to steal at night. It is easy for people to remain drunk from night. They like it. As soon as it's day done, everybody goes back to the house. God said, don't you know I'm the one that makes that thing happen? The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in what? Violence. Have you explored the springs from which the seas come? In other words, do you know that the seas, they are from a particular spring? Do you know that there's a place where the water that fills the spring comes from? Have you checked? Have you explored? Have you explored their depth? Do you know how deep that spring is? You just know the sea, but you don't know the spring that supplies the sea. It's God speaking here, church. Are you seeing the wisdom of God? He said, do you know where the gates of death are located? In other words, there is a gate. We know from Bible says there is what we call the gates of hell. Apart from the gates of hell, there is a gate called the gate of death, where a person cross and they cannot come back again. That is why after a person crosses the gate of hell, we will need to entreat God and say, God, let the door be open for the person to come. When people die, they don't just sleep. They enter a gate, another world. That's God. Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of the utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know, Job. Come and sit down and answer my questions. And Job was just wondering, where does light come from? And where does darkness go? Explain, Job. See, God is asking Job, explain. The all-knowing God. And God is saying, I can answer all these questions. Every single question you see here, he can answer it. Only he has the answers to these things. He said, can you take each to his home? That means darkness has a house. Light has house. I can decide to house darkness. I can decide to house light. Every time it is let loose, I am the one that have given it space. At night, I call it back and I say, come to your direction. This is God speaking. Do you know how they get there? You know. Do you know? He said, but of course you know all this, for you were born before. But of course you know all this. Huh? Exclamation. He said, for you were born before it was all created, and you are so very experienced. Abi, so Oshan Modada, and you are very experienced. Have you visited the shores of the snow? So snow has shores. No, you said it was falling, but God said it has a shore. Have you visited the shores of the snow or seen the storehouse of hail? In other words, the hail that came to scatter Egypt, hailstorm that came, God said they have house. In other words, all these things you are seeing, they are not just natural things. They are like personalities in themselves. Hail is a personality. Rain is a personality. Sun is a personality. All these things stand in their own class. And God says they are house. I keep them where they should be. If I send them on errand. When I send the boil on errand in Egypt, everybody caught it. When I send the hailstorm, everybody. When I send the locust, he said, locust, calacanca worm, palma worm, and caterpillar. My great army, which I send among you. That's God. have reserved them as weapon for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. Did I explain these things? So God said, when Egypt was misbehaving, I wanted to execute judgment and war against Egypt. I have kept them for that day. If God has kept them for that day, every devil that is tormenting your life, every devil that is tormenting your family, I declare that the hands of God will release these strange weapons. The hand of God will release these strange weapons. Anyone holding anything that belongs to you, anyone holding anything that should be released to you, I declare, may God release this judgment on it in the name of Jesus. I have released, I reserve weapons, snow, water. He said water, all those things, they are weapons. I use them to fight. Have you forgotten the day where the particular people gathered against God's children? And he said God started sending stone. Okuta. Scientists have been trying to calculate. And some people say it can be a natural occurrence where the sun is filled with this. And the sun. God said, Farabale, I sent the stone. It was not a coincidence. Why is it the day that they were fighting that the stone fell? Why has it not fallen since? I command the stone. I have a house where they stay. I have reserved them as weapon for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and what? War. Go ahead, go ahead. Where is the path and the source of light? Where is the home of the east wind? Did you watch all those movies where a particular guy released the east wind? Have you seen the wind movies before? Have you seen what's the Odyssey or whatever? And the guy just in the bottle, they box the wind. Did you see that movie? He boxed the wind, and a particular time he needed to open it. What's the name of that guy that went to hide the bottle and opened it? And they had to go back. If God opens certain things, I told them in the Bible school when I was training them, I said that there are certain angels that are standing. If you read Revelation, he said one stands here and the leg is on the sea and the other leg is on the earth. You know how big that kind of angel is. If God released them to planet earth, they will just hold the earth like this, palm over close. They are reserved for the day of judgment. If God left those things to show up on the face of earth where we are, but he considered the earth to be for the sons of men. And people are still complaining and say, God, why? God, why? And God said, if you know the destruction I've kept away from you people, you will not talk like that. Who created the channel for the torrents of the rain? In other words, every rain that is coming down from heaven, God saw the channel where it is going to pass. He knows the exact place where it will drop on the face of the earth. He said, who created it? Who laid out the path for the lightning? You see the lightning as it comes. Who laid out the path? Go ahead, go ahead. He said, who makes the rain fall on barren land in the desert where no one lives? As in, nobody lives there. They don't need it, but I still wet it. Who sends rain to satisfy the parched ground and make the tender grass spring up? Job, answer. Does the rain have a father? Who gave birth to the dew? Who gave birth to it? He's asking Job. He said, answer now. Who is the mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost of the heaven? For the waters turn to ice as hard as rock, and the surface of the waters freeze. He's asking, can you direct the movement of the stars? Do you know how they move from left to right? They are burning balls of fire. Can you control them? Can you put your hand there? Job explained. And Job said, question. Can you direct the movement of the stars? Bind the clusters of the plates and losing the cords of the what? Orions. Now these are strange objects. If you go and read them now, there are a lot of flying strange objects. Science will say that they saw an object, they saw a flying object, they saw this. Those guys don't know that God kept those. If he releases them in the end time, there will be strange flying objects. In reality, there will be things released to the face of planet earth. Go and read the book of Revelation. You will see that they talk about a particular wormwood that hits the earth, and when it hits the earth, everything, one third of the earth was destroyed. They are serious. God has weapons. So. Go ahead. Can you direct the sequence of the seasons to guide the bear with her cubs across the heavens sky? Do you know the laws of the universe? Now they are saying that, they say, we are praying to the universe. We are praying to the universe. God is saying, do you know the laws of the universe? That universe itself, I made the universe. I gave it laws. So every time somebody says they are praying to the universe, indirectly they are praying to who? God. Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you shout to the cloud and make it rain? In other words, when God wants rain to fall, he will look and say, psh, oh yeah. Elijah showed up like God and he said, oh yeah, stop. And he stopped. Then he came out, said, oh yeah, walk. And he walked. God gave him that power. God is saying, yeah, can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct it? Can you do that? Can you decide when the lightning and the sun everywhere happen? He said, who gives instruction to the heart and instinct to the mind? Look at you now. Who gives instruction to your heart? He said, by instinct, I knew it. When God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, how did they know how to have sex? Who placed the instinct of hunger in you? Who placed the instinct in a little baby that as soon as the baby is born, put the baby beside the mother and it will look for the breast? Has he been sucking it before? No. But instinct, God put it inside the child. And as soon as the child is there, if the child does not suck, the nurses will come and say he has reflex, what do they call it, problem again? That he has reflex. It says, so the instinct, sucking instinct is not active. In other words, God is saying, I am the activator. I am the one. Who gives intuition? So sometimes you sit down there and say, I just feel. Who gives you intuition? Kai. Who is wise enough to count all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven? In other words, the whole heaven is like a water jar. And God says, when it's time to rain, I tilt it. When the parched ground is dry and the soil has hardened into cords, can you stalk prey for a lioness and satisfy the young lion's appetite? In other words, Job, can you train lions? Can you train lions and always give them food to eat? The other day in Ibadan, the lion that they killed their lion because the lion ate the person. The lion ate the person taking care of it. The same person that has been taking care of it for several years. All of a sudden, the lion lost his consciousness and ate the man. And they shot the lion alive, shot it with guns like this. And God is asking him, go back now, don't rush, go back. He said, can you stalk prey for the lion and satisfy the young lion's appetite? Can you try to, you can tame the dog in your house. Come and tame lion. God is saying, you see all those lions in the forest? I apportion food for them every day. You see the deer that the lion ate? It was not because the lion knows how to run that he got that deer, or because he is smart. I quickened the intuition of the lion to know how to separate that deer from the pack so that he will have food to eat. If not, the lion will die. I have created the ecosystem in such a way that everybody will find food. Read it. Let's go ahead. Are you tired?
No,
as they lie in their den or crouch in the thickets. Go ahead now. He said, who provides food for the raven when they are young, cry out to God and wander about in hunger? In other words, even birds that you see that they are eating. The Bible says they cry out to God. This raven that you are talking about is a very stingy bird. When Elijah was there and there was no food, a raven went to somewhere where an angel cooked bread and went to bring the bread and became a chef. And gave it to Elijah and said, man of God, eat. God said, I directed it. Who provides food for the raven when they are young, cry out to God and wander about in hunger? Go ahead now. Go ahead. Verse 39. He said, do you know when the wild goat gives birth? Many of you have animals and you see how they give birth. You wonder how. You just wonder how a pig will give birth by itself. A dog, you don't have to be there. You just come back and you meet puppies. But a human being is supposed to give birth. Everybody has to gather. So who is the midwife of the goats, the nannies, the donkeys, the dogs, the wild goats in the bush where nobody is there to give attention? God said, I am the nanny, the midwife. I will help them deliver. Have you watched as the deer are born in the wild? Do you know how many months they carry their youngs? Are you aware of the time of their delivery? Kai. They couch down to give birth to their young and deliver their offsprings. Their young grow up in the open fields, then leave home and never return. Do you know the age of accountability where the young lion says, daddy, goodbye, I'm going home? He said, me, I know the day that the lion has decided I do not come back again. I know. It's like it took permission from me that it's going. I know. Their young grow up in the open field, then leave home and never return. Who gives the wild donkey its freedom? Who unites its rope? Unties its rope. I have placed it in the wilderness. Its home is in the wasteland. It hates the noise of the city and has no driver to shout at it. That means even if they make noise in the city, it will not go there. It hates the noise of the city. I have kept it in its own way. This is God. This is God. The mountains are its pasture land where it scratches for every blade of grass. It searches, is that not? Will the wild ox consent to being tamed? Will it spend the night in your stall? Wild ox in your stall, will he agree for you to tame it? He said, no, but me, I tame it all. That's God speaking. Can you hitch a wild horse to its plow? Will you plow the field for you? That means, you know how animals plow. Can you, a wild ox, you don't know, you need to know what a wild ox is. So it's not the tamed ones. So it's a wild one. Can you put a yoke on their neck and command them to plow? Will they answer you? Given his strength, can you trust it? Can you leave it and trust the ox to do what it do your work? Go ahead now. Can you rely on it to bring home your grain and deliver it to your threshing floor? The ostrich flaps her wings grandly, but they are no match for the feathers of the stork. She lays her egg on top of the earth, letting them to be warmed in the dust. God is explaining. She doesn't worry that a foot might crush them or a wild animal might destroy them. You see how a lizard will just come from nowhere, drop egg, palm, and they will go. Crocodiles will leave the water and come out to land, lay egg, cover it, and they will go. They are not bothered. They don't put security in mind. They say, may God come and stay around my egg and help me protect it. God by himself says that, don't worry, they are protected. When it is time, all those things will come out. She doesn't worry that a foot might harsh them. She is harsh towards her young as if they were not her own. She doesn't care if they die. Have you seen an ox give birth? It gives birth as the egg is hatching, as if it's going to be matching. You know, it acts like, where Kolomo? There's the head like this. You'll be matching and yet they will not die. God says, I'm the one that keeps those. I will move the leg so that it will not kill it. And when he mats it, I give strength so that it will not die. God says, I am in charge of the whole forest. I am in charge. I'm the one taking care of everything. Everything. For God has deprived her of wisdom. He has given her no understanding. You see how the ostrich behave? Whenever there is noise coming and everywhere there's something happening, terrible things. Instead of the ostrich to hide, it will hide the head and keep the bum bum up like this. God says, I took away sense from it. He said, but whenever she jumps to run, she passes the swift horse with its riders. If she decides to run, so when there is problem, she will bend her head like Mumu. But when there's no problem again, she starts running. And he can run faster than a horse. So instead of running when there is problem, he will bend the head. Are you getting the flow here now? Have you given the horse his strength or clothed the neck with flowing mane? It says, did you give it the ability to leap like a locust? Its majestic snort in terrifying. It's terrifying. Snort is terrifying. It paws the earth and rejoices in its strength when it charges out to battle. It laughs at fear and is unafraid. It does not run from the sword. That's why they use horses to fight. A horse does not know sword. It is the man on top of the horse that is scared. It is the man that is, but the horse is in the midst of the battle. Eh? And the man is fighting with sword. Yet the horse never for one does like this. Let me dodge. Come up by me, oh, come up by me. No, the horse will move. The horse will move. But you know if you try it with a goat, you are in trouble. So God said, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. Men prepared, said, but victory is the Lord's. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you get home, you go and read all of them. Jump to verse. There's chapter 40 and there's chapter 41. But after God asked Job all these questions, the last six verses, Job chapter 42, 1 to 6. Look at it. And I'll close there. Job 42, 1 to 6. He said, now after God has asked Job all the question and he does not have answer, see what he says. Then Job replied the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can do what? Stop you. You ask, who is it that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Things too far wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said and I sit in dust and go back. Who is this? Go back to 5 and let's read it in full because you have jumped. I had not heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I have heard only about you before, seen by eye. Then look at verse 6. The last one. I take back everything I said and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Lift up your hands and bless God tonight. This is the God we serve. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets born.
heart in everything you make. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise,
you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void.
For once you have spoken,
all nature and science follow the sound of your voice.
And as you speak,
evolving in pursuit of what you've said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I can see your heart in everything you say. Every pain and
tears of
men.
Can you lift your hands and just worship God tonight and say, thank you, Jesus. 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 These teachings are meant so that you can honor God differently, so that you can see God from a different light, so that you can understand the God that you serve as a Christian, so that you can stand and defend this God when men speak. Lekaswana gabaya gabarodaya. Rapande leboski brandi laborosha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you are in service tonight and you have not encountered this Jesus as Lord and Savior, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you have not encountered Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you raise your hand quietly? I'm going to pray with you right now. This is the God we serve. Can you confidently raise your hand? I'm going to pray with you. Can you say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my personal Savior. I receive forgiveness of sin and I receive eternal life into my spirit. I declare I am born again, I am saved, and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Can you put your hands together and celebrate Jesus tonight?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.